recording now. Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the authority you've given us over everything. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that interference to go right now. In the name of Jesus, we command the communications for everybody that wants to get on tonight to be perfect. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a good time tonight. We ask, Lord, that you lead us by your Spirit. Lord, that tonight would be an awesome time with you. And Father, we ask and we pray for your presence among us, Lord. Anoint us to speak what you want us to speak, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you guide us and lead us and give us the things that you want us to talk about in Jesus' name, to glorify you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? Way we do this, Fedor, is we ask for prayer requests first and get that out of the way. It might last an hour. It might last 5 minutes. Just depends. And then we do whatever else we got to do. Okay. Testimonies and praise reports, too. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Barry.
Yeah. I would like to have prayer for David's house.
Okay.
You know, the appeal went out, and the Lord said, hey, buy that house, stop paying rent. And I'd like to see that that come to fruition. I'd like to, you know, if people aren't aware of it, you know, there's lots of people listening to this recording, they might not have heard the message where that,
yeah.
Where that was talked about. But anyway, David and Michael living in a house that they're renting, and apparently the Lord through, I guess it was Eve, said that the house should be purchased, yeah. And that's going to yeah. come through the generosity of the saints out mm-hmm. there, and it would be a good thing and a good witness and a good testimony to the people. It would be a good thing for the body to have this as an accomplishment through the Lord's power.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Well, Lord, we thank you. We just call it in right now in the name of Jesus. We call something's going on here. We call that money in here, every nickel of it, and more. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that we're looking for this to be fulfilled very soon in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that money in for this house, for David, in Jesus' name. Yeah, we've been here for about 7 years now. I guess more than seven. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Also, Lord, we just thank you for all the rest of the money that we're going to need to fulfill what you've already told us, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Very soon, tomorrow, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not trying to put the Lord in a spot. How many of you know the Lord can do whatever he wants to do? Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Leon.
About a month ago, I started a project, and it's dependent on the good weather. And what I'm doing is rebuilding a dock and putting new flooring down on it. But I can't work. I got 2 days of sunshine and 4 days of rain, or 1 day of sunshine and 4 days of rain. Or the lake is up too high for me to work. I have to get into water to work or something, you know. So there's just been a series of delays on it. And I got one more day to complete the job. And it's going to rain for the next couple days anyway. And then it'll get cold, or that's what they're predicting. So join me, if you would, in prayer, and Lord, I just come to you, God, and you know how I got all kinds of money tied up in this, and things are getting scarce now, and I need to get this job done. So you could give me the weather to do it. If it tops out at 55 or 60, I'd be happy with that, as long as it's sunny and I can get it accomplished. And I want to do it for your glory, and just satisfy the customer and help them to get it all resolved. And we just thank you that you're going to do that, Lord, for me, and that you're going to bless me about that job and get it complete. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We command that weather to straighten up over there where that dock is. We command that lake to go down where he can get out there and do the job. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He's going to get a call tomorrow from the owner and say, hey, you can come over here and work on this thing. And he'd be ready to go.
I'm going to finish the job in the water. I'm going to put waders on.
Okay.
I got those for gold mining because we get in the lakes and in the rivers and streams and stuff. So I got some of those. I'll put them on. I don't mind. But if the water's too high, then they'll go in the waders. So
that's a lot of fun when it does that.
Yeah. Especially if it's only 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So, you know, the water's much colder anyway.
Absolutely. So. Okay. Well, look for it because it's going to
happen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Who's next? How about a testimony or a praise report? Go ahead, Leon.
I do have a testimony. I went out the other day and I started my truck and it was misfiring, you know, and I drove and it stayed misfiring pretty much all the way. And I went to the Advanced Auto and I had them put it on the computer reader. And they said it was missing on number 3 cylinder was missing on it. And I prayed about it and the light came on and everything like that. And that's why I went ahead and took it to Advanced Auto, and they diagnosed it for me and said number 3 was misfiring. So I prayed about it and the thing straightened out and the light went off. So praise God for that.
Amen. Did you go through that water over on Povo?
What's that?
Did you go through that water over there on Povo?
No, I was. There was plenty of water on where Jeff lives, whatever street that is.
Oh, Bob.
Bob Lay, right? Yeah.
Bob Lay. Okay. Amen.
They got a couple of big blowouts in the road. You know where the asphalts come out. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Pretty big ones too.
Yeah. Go ahead, Suji.
Oh, it's Gano. I just want to praise the Lord and just thank him for just touching the hearts of my girls. Greg and I talked to each one of them yesterday and today, and they just they received everything we shared with them. They were thankful that we called them, and I just thank the Lord for just preparing their hearts to receive, even though some of what we shared with them was probably a little hard to hear. But they were thankful, and I just thank the Lord for his work in their hearts. And Father, I thank you for answering our prayers and for preparing the hearts of my girls to hear that, to know that they need to prepare their hearts to be ready for the days that are coming. And I just thank you, Father, for doing that for us.
Yes.
And for them and for their families. Mm-hmm. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for preparing their hearts to get ready in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that getting old as that stuff is coming out on the mainstream media now.
Yes, they had already heard some of it, but not everything we shared with them. But we were glad that at least they were listening a little bit ahead of time, which was good.
Amen. Okay, now, somebody raised their hand. Is that iPad, Judy? Go ahead, girl.
I just want to tell everybody that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus because I felt to go Wednesday. And I kind of pulled a hamstring, and the Lord's doing a work on me, and we're going through a lot, but that's okay.
Amen.
I feel beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'm going to get up there and get away.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. You look good sitting up there, girl. You what, Sue?
She's ready to run. I have to hold her back. But I thank you all for the prayers that you prayed for all of us.
Yeah.
We just pray that you all be blessed. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Theodore. Hey, y'all meet. Let me introduce Theodore. This is Lynn, his brother. Y'all remember Lynn?
He looks just like him.
He does. But he's a little prettier, ain't he?
Yeah, I think he's a little better looking.
Okay. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, no, that's not what I need right now. I wanted to share a testimony and a prayer request. A couple of days ago, I was driving up to, not quite to Chicago, but it was about a 4.5-hour trip. And God saw to it that I wouldn't get my rental car on time. And it was going to be about 5 hours late. So I said, okay, that's fine. I get to spend some more time with the family. And when I went to finally get the rental car, all I had was a minivan. And I said, well, I rented a car, and all you got is a minivan. And these are more expensive and they're bulky. And so they said, we'll give you a 10% discount if you'll take the minivan. All right. I was like, I'm not going to complain. I'll take the minivan. So we were walking around the car doing our just routine inspection before taking off. And I had this thought cross my mind, said I could take a whole family of hitchhikers in this minivan, if I needed to. And that was just Lord preparing me, I guess, because about 2 miles out of my town where Leo and I live, there was, of course, a man walking down the road, and I pulled over and picked him up. And he was really stressing about his current life and all the past sins that were just tearing him up, and his past sins wouldn't let him go. And I mean, who was I to preach to this guy? I mean, I've got so many of my own problems, and I just told him that Jesus took care of all that. If we just go back where we fell off the path, repent and don't sin anymore. And it was just something he needed to hear. I mean, even though I'm not the most perfect person, and part of my prayer request is just about that. But I'm just really thankful that I got to meet this man and take him to where he was headed, right along my path. I mean, he was walking basically right when I needed to leave, 5 hours late. So God saw to that and he loved the minivan. He loved it. He couldn't get enough of this minivan. So that was another, praise God for that. But I just wanted to pray and ask for forgiveness for not loving to read the word. And, I've been feeling a conviction in my heart to clean out my house and get rid of everything that's unnecessary, all the movies, the games and things that distract. And I listened to the last outreach from last Thursday, and there was some of that also that, just kind of went right along with what I needed to hear. And I just wanted to lay that out before the Lord. And, I want to start loving to read the word. I mean, I travel every week and I have time, but I just don't, for some reason, I don't get to it, And I want that to change. I want to start hearing the Lord every day, not just once in a while when I get a minivan, you know. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Fyodor. We thank you, Father, that you are doing a quick work in him. Lord, we ask that you place a hunger in him for the word of God like he's never experienced before. And Lord, we thank you that he'll get on and he'll listen to some of the audio tapes or get on and order some of those books like Sovereign God and The Real Good News. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring him in a quick and mature him in a quick way, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Dave.
I just like to thank the Lord for family salvation. It's wonderful to see Fyodor on here and knowing Leonid, and they're both good Christian men, Father. Thank you for putting it on their hearts to draw close to you. We see that touch in the family, Lord, and we give that joy in our heart for seeing this come through. There's many prayers for this family. We can see that, and you're bringing them all in, and we're getting on their touch in their hearts, Lord. We thank you for doing that and blessing them with your Holy Spirit to get them closer to you, Father. So we give that blessing, and we pass that on. And Lord, we praise you for all the things you're going to do for this family and continue to work strongly on their behalf to make sure they make it to the finish line, Father. We thank you for doing that for all of us, but it's just a wonderful thing to see a family come together that are all know the Lord and be happy to be in his kingdom, Father. We thank you for that blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Dave.
I'd just like to ask a few more questions. What's the best time for you to read scriptures?
Really, anytime, you know.
I find a lot of us, we usually do it in the morning. We have to set some time aside or get up early, we'll do it. But that seems to be the best time when our mind's clear. We haven't got a lot of things in our mind. Otherwise, when you get started with your day, you're busy until it's over. And then by the time it's over, sometimes you're thinking, you just can't have that focus, that concentration.
I will start doing that. Wake up early. Suggestion. I can. Thank you.
It'll be worth it. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, it was my birthday weekend, so everyone in the family started calling me to wish me a happy birthday. And I had a really interesting conversation with my brother, Chris. And I didn't think he was that close to the Lord, but he amazed me. You know? So I talked to him for 33 minutes, and we had a really nice conversation about the Lord. He's got some verses in them for a charismatic Catholic anyway, and I talked to my sister for 55 minutes, and she's a handicapped she's got crippled arms, and she loves the Lord too, and I was quite amazed with her too, to discuss the Lord with her for 55 minutes. She sang happy birthday to me, and then we just stayed on the phone for a while. And it was just wonderful. And,
awesome.
Yeah, and got to mention some nice verses on love there, because I'm practicing with a way to witness with just love. You know, got John 3:16 to start, and then some more love from John there, and mentioned quite a few verses there. Oh, they really... I think it got them when I mentioned John 3:14-23. If any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, that's Jesus and the Father, of course, will come unto him
and make our abode with him. You know, and I remind them, because, you know, when you go to funerals, they always say, you know, in my father's house, there's many mansions or many houses. And, you know, my sister doesn't really know too many verses, but, you know, I say, you know, look, it says right here, you keep his word. You know, they know that they have to have the Spirit of Christ in them. You know? So I'm kind of hoping that this will go elsewhere. Maybe there'll be more phone calls or even more visits or something, you know. So I'm just really touched that the Lord is drawing them this way. And I'm just going to say a little prayer for the family. Lord, I thank you for family salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that you surprised me with my brother and my sister. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to draw them. Continue to draw them, and that there would be no hesitations there, no conflicts with knowledge, and that I stressed more for behavior, Lord, and that they would know that good behavior will bring good knowledge, and good knowledge brings good behavior. If there's something wrong with them, Lord, they won't have the good behavior, and that's their cue to know that there might be something wrong. Lord, I pray that you would bless all of them. There's quite a few that need you a lot more, and I have no idea at all. And I pray for them too, Lord, that you would draw them and continue drawing me ever closer to you, Lord, and my children, my Megan and her new husband, Zach, and Benjamin. And I hear he has a girlfriend somewhere, so named Rachel. So, Lord, I don't know what you're doing there, but if this is what the Lord you want, Lord, then let it be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Well, Theodore, I finally figured out what it was. It's this crazy headset of mine that was doing all that scratching noise that okay. I was hearing. Yeah, it wasn't you. It was me. So I changed it and got another one on. So we're okay now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Barry.
I want to hear from Andrew how work went today. You had that project and a machine that was like a scary monster in pieces, and it was going to be tough. And I want to hear your praise report on that.
Well, it's kind of a praise report because the customer phoned back and he changed everything. So now we got more time on it, and it's a dance company where they have ballet and stuff, and it's just a book that has to be put together, and there's several pieces of it. And it can't be done on the machine anyway. It has to be all done by hand. And I'm just surprised that they took this job with just me. It looks like a job that's going to be one of those jobs that lasts forever. And so, you know, I got it started. I got it all cut down from the big sheets down to the small ones. And then the guy called in the afternoon and changed everything. So now I got to fix everything I did already by hand and take some pages out that he didn't like and put the new ones back in and then coil them up into the booklets they're supposed to go into. And so I got a whole bunch of them now to fix, and we got to order more paper to reprint the ones that were ruined. And so it's a bit of a disaster. So I'm being very patient about it.
That's job security.
that is too.
Absolutely.
The guy who took this customer is on his 3-week vacation over there in Florida. He's with you Americans. And oh boy. So he's going to be surprised because there's another big job. He's just finished it today on the press. And I'm going, how am I going to finish these two jobs? And the relief didn't come in yet, so it was fun having four people less than you usually have, but today we only had two. So tomorrow we only will have the one guy who's still on vacation, but hopefully everything goes well. So it's a job anyway.
So amen.
Some of them go that way. It makes me patient. Praise God.
You got some jobs that you can't use the computer with?
Well, no,
bookmarker.
I work on big hydraulic cutters and folding machines that do perfing and scoring in the paper if it's cardboard, so it folds it easier when it goes through the collating machine that saddle stitches the book. And basically, I'm making books, you know. I can't really find it now, but somewhere in here is How Shall We Die? And I print it myself because that's what we have at my work, and it's no charge.
Amen. Amen. Anyway,
so I printed the Bible a few times. I downloaded it from the site there, and that one I went to an office place and got a binder, and I printed one for my son and one for my daughter, and of course they just left it here because that was way back in high school. But then when he came over with her and they announced their wedding announcement, I said, I got a gift for you. And I went and got her Bible. I dusted it off and say, here's the binder. It shows you a little bit on the numerics there, and hopefully they're reading that anyway.
So amen.
I got his here. So he left his here. So if there's ever another announcement on a wedding, yes, who's getting?
He's going to get his too.
I'm throwing the book at them.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and I warned them about that. The movie there on YouTube, The Pilgrim's Progress, it's a musical. 2017. It's the only one that use live actors, you know. And I told him about the one that has cartoons on it too, so that he can, like, it's a picture one. It's a pretty good process, because it starts with the guy who's called Christian, even though he has a load on his back and has all those sins there. So hopefully he can watch that. We should have watched it when I went over to their place. They still have a TV. So yeah. I'm not a sinner, but I watched the program. You got to be weak to the weak, but I don't want that influence on anyone. So
amen.
I like watching that Pilgrim Progress one. I just have to get over all those different people. You can pliable. atheists and all those ones you meet up with, and it some of those, like, they don't use those terms in the English language anymore. You have to go look them up in the dictionary to see what characteristic this person has. It's not a term people use today in English, because it's probably from the early 1700s anyway. That's when you guys were all British. Well, that's if you're all 300 years old, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I just noticed that I had an email from my mom, and I was reading it, and she was telling us kids different things going on with my dad. So I just want to make it simple here. Just pray for him, and you all agree with me. Father, I thank you for your mercy and grace upon my dad. I thank you, Lord, for sustaining him. Lord, I know, Lord, that you're going to restore his health as well as my mom's. You're going to restore them like you're going to do for us and many other people in this coming revival. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. I just command these nosebleeds to go in the name of Jesus. I command them to be healed. whatever's causing them, I command it to go in the name of Jesus, whether the high blood pressure or whatever it may be. Command the headache to go too in Jesus' name. Command his eye to heal up where the blood vessel broke in his eye in the name of Jesus. And command his blood pressure to be normal too in Jesus' name. It's up a little bit, but not too much. But we just command it to be perfectly normal. Go down to normal. And Lord, we just command his bowels to move normally. And Lord, and that he be taken off all these medicines concerning that in Jesus' name. And that there be no reason found to keep him from having a colonoscopy, even though I don't, you're our healer and we don't look and try and find things wrong, Lord. But Lord, you know that they're thinking they're concerned that there might be a reason why they shouldn't do it. So we just ask you and we just command that any spirits of infirmity to go off my dad, and there will be they will find no reason to not do it. And we just, if they do still decide to go ahead and do it, Lord, I just forbid any complications with that in Jesus' name. And that they would not find anything either. I just speak the blessings over my dad's entire body, as well as my mom, that they are restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We hook our faith up when missing. We believe. Thank you, Lord. Her dad's fine. Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Hey, do y'all remember? I don't know if you've seen the news regularly, but Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, made a comment about farmers the other day that he could teach anybody to be a farmer. And I want to play you a little clip that Pence put up, Mike Pence put up for his enjoyment. So I'm just going to share this thing with y'all. Give me a second here. Oh, wait a minute. Something going on here. Well, I'll tell you what. I know, understand. Anyway, I'll share it next time. Unless somebody wants to go on there. What I did is I updated my Mac operating system, and when you do that, weird things happen. And anyway, it's not allowing me to do it. It's called So God Made a Farmer. If somebody wants to look it up and share it on the screen, if not, we'll just go on to something else. It's by Paul Harvey. He put it out some years ago. But it's real neat. All right, what we got here? All right. Will's got something on there. It says, seek me early walk in my way, and trust me, no evil can touch you. I am yours as truly as you are mine. Rest in that truth. Rest, that is. Cease all struggle. Gain a calm, strong confidence in that certainty. Do not only rest in me when the world's struggles prove too much and too many for you to bear or face alone. Rest in me when you need perfect understanding, when you need the consciousness of tender, loving friendship and intercourse. The world, my poor world, flies to me when its difficulties are too great to be surmounted any other way, forgetting or never realizing that it, with the same eagerness, those hearts sought me merely for companionship and loving intercourse, many of the difficulties would not arise. The circumstances, the life, the character would be so altered, so purified, that those same difficulties would not exist. Seek me early. That is the way to find me, early before I get. Okay, we didn't get the last of that, but anyway. Wait a minute now. Get crowded out by life's troubles and difficulties and pleasures. And it just made me think about what David said, he says. So he's talking about you, Dave. All right. Amen. Thank you, Will. That was good. Anybody else? Yeah, Will. Go ahead, brother.
How's everybody doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about this. This is a daily devotional, but it's a very interesting daily devotional. They don't know who wrote it. It was written by two ladies, I think. I don't know what the date was. I think it was early 20th century. And they call themselves, they're totally anonymous, they call themselves two listeners, and they received a message each day, which one of the ladies recorded. But it's very powerful stuff. My gran had a diary in her house, or like a daily devotional in her house, and I used to read it, and then I was lucky enough to find a PDF version somewhere on the net. But it's very interesting, and they've got a huge ministry. The book is very famous even today, the daily devotional, but yet they are teaching so many men, but they're not really teaching any men. It's a funny ministry that they...
Yeah, go ahead, Will.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought there was a glitch. No, I just wanted to share another one of their daily devotions. It's such a good one. It's been such a powerful message for me, and such a powerful, it gave me great power for every day. But I seriously recommend that you guys go and look at their daily devotional and tell me what you guys think about it. It's called God Calling. You can find it on the Play Store app. It's also there's only one. I think I found one major problem in one of their daily devotionals. But overall, you know what David said: don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I'm also wanted to ask They're women in ministry. They've got a wonderful ministry. They're anonymous. I think they're not alive anymore. But yet they're teaching so many men in such a strange way, because so many guys, I'm sure, read that book. It's very, like I said, it's quite famous. But I'll share this very nice daily devotion with you, which is so powerful for me. I don't know the date. I'll put it on the chats, but I just want to read it. It's face each difficulty. It's face each difficulty, sure that the wisdom and the strength will be given you for it. Claim it. rely on me to keep my promise about this. In my universe, for every task I give one of my children, there is set aside all that is necessary for its performance. So why fear? So why doubt? It's just so funny to get up every morning. Are you still there?
Yeah, keep going, Will. I'm just having
a... Yeah, just when you wake up in the morning and you've got a very tough day and if your trials are surmounting and it's sort of overwhelming, just to say, I've got everything I need today to get through it. Face each difficulty, sure that the wisdom and the strength will be given you for it. Claim it. You know, it's such a wonderful... And yeah, their messages are so inspiring. They've got stuff on unforgiveness, provision, and it's so educating, even for me as a man. So I'm just sort of wondering, where do they fit in? And are they in line with what women are allowed to do, you know? But just go and look at their book. If you guys have time, just tell me what you think. All right, thank you.
Okay, well, David has a wonderful teaching on that. It's called Word, Women, and the Word. Word, Women, and Authority. Isn't it what it is? Yeah, Word, Women, and Authority. And he actually lays it out scriptural, with scriptures, a lot of scriptures. So that'd be something to look at on the site there.
I've started going through all these. I don't know if you know Corrie ten Boom.
Yeah, I don't know her personally, or didn't.
Yeah, and she's also had a quite an interesting ministry, educating the Christians on the tribulation and preparation on the tribulation. And I know. Like, I think August on this. On the outreach, there was quite a few discussions on women in ministry, and I wanted to mention these three the three ladies from the these three there's these two that called it they're anonymous, they just call themselves the two listeners, and they only shared this book. What the Lord shared with them every morning, but yet that book is extremely educating and very encouraging. And then we've got Corrie ten Boom, and I wonder how she fits in. But yeah, now I'll go through David's stuff again, and I'm sure we'll have another discussion on this.
Yeah, because will.
Yeah, because I know three women. That's what's that lady Gugu? I don't know how to pronounce her surname. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about now. Lady, I don't know how to pronounce. She was locked up in the Bastille. She wrote a few books. There's three women I think that I know that are very prominent in the Christian, that are very respected among the true Christians. And I'm sort of just wondering how they fit in with what the Word says. But the two listeners are very interesting. They don't educate or haven't taught anyone in person. Yet just what they shared with what the Lord shared with them in that book is very encouraging, I'm sure, for millions of Christian men all around the world. But I don't think that's the topic for today. I just came up, so sorry about that.
Amen. Yeah, we had one. Hadn't been that long ago, a few months ago, I guess, on that. Hey, Pat. Yeah, what we teach is what the scripture says, and if we veer from that, we're getting into some error. So we we can go over that again sometime. Pretty quick, you know. Yeah.
Debbie. Yes, it would be nice if you look at Corrie ten Boom and all the other ladies that's quite prominent and seem to be respected, and just see was it right for her to because I don't know if she taught any men, but she did testify. I don't know all her content, but it was, for me, she has a huge thoughts on forgiveness, and it was very, very there's a few Google, a few YouTube, Corrie ten Boom on forgiveness. She's got a testimony, which is interesting. She testifies on how the Lord taught her how to forgive. And that is very edifying, was very edifying for me. In fact, it was so powerful, I use it even today. So I'm just sort of, yeah, I wanted to mention that when we got, everyone was talking about women in ministry, but yeah, I was too busy to log in. But I'm sure we'll talk about it down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, we can designate a time to do that. We've been over that a few times in here over the years, but it's this last time we did it was just a few months ago. Remember this. Women are not to teach. So if there's teaching going on, that's forbidden. But if it's just testimony, something that God has given them, that's fine, you know. Who's to shut somebody down if God gave them the word, you know?
Yeah, that's why if you've got time.
Go ahead.
What's that? If you've got time, guys, just go and look at their daily devotional. It's called God Calling by Two Listeners. Okay. It's on the App Store, and just read it and tell me what you guys think, if they're in line with what women were allowed to do. Because I've got a huge following, and I'm also interesting, they're also called a cult. If you Google them, they've got a lot of negative criticism, and that's the same sort of thing. David, if you Google David is also called part of a cult, which is quite funny. So that they seem to be very quite persecuted. They're not very popular among the bigger Christian public, I think. But the book is, there's so much good stuff in there. But if you guys have time, then we can and Lady Gaga, I don't know how to pronounce her name, and then it's Corrie ten Boom. That's the three women I think that's very prominent among true Christians. That's the three I know that I'm sort of questioning, did they do the right thing and stuff like that.
Sometime in the future, hopefully. Cool. Debbie.
I just want to say that we had that book years ago in the early 80s, The God Calling. I was so blessed by that. It's just a book of words. It's no no teaching book at all, so maybe he's just blessed by it. But
amen.
Yeah, it was just a book of words they got from the Lord each morning and shared. That's all.
There's
it was.
Nothing wrong with that.
So anybody can read it. Yeah, and be blessed by it. So I know, just want to let him know, let you know, Will, that we know what you're talking about. And it was very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to that book, but.
Amen. I've never heard of it, so I couldn't comment one way or the other.
Yeah, thank you. No, they've got their testimony in the beginning of their if you download the PDF version, they've got their testimony on how it happened that the Lord gave them this messages. And you know that they were so faithful to document that message every single day and not skip one. that's a miracle in itself, you know. You are to get the huge message every day. Some is like a 5 chapters long, and you've got to document it and be faithful with all the trials. And they've got one on forgiveness. I'll share it about a self-work. Since we are on that topic of forgiveness, they've got a topic on forgiveness. If you do it in self, it is such a terrible thing to try and forgive someone in self. I'll see if I can find that, but that's some good stuff there. I wanted to share it, but I was still concerned if I was allowed and if they're in line. You know, we're all considered sort of, I'm sort of figuring out women in ministry now. But yeah, like you're saying, we'll talk about it. But thank you. I'm glad that it gets a good review. My grand's had the book for years and years and years, and I'm just happy to know that she's a true Christian. You know, as I grow to see that she's been really following the Lord for a long time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, thank you, Will. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
I can try to play the video if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
From Paul Harvey, though. Same one. Let's see if I can.
Has it got the video?
Yeah, Paul Harvey, God Made a Farmer.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can do this. Can you guys see that?
Let's see. Nothing yet.
About now.
Okay, here's something.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then pain in from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Yep, that was good. Take that, Mike Bloomberg. By the way, you can't just take somebody out and teach them if you've never done it before. I'll tell you something. It's so automated now, Fyodor would have trouble. They have combines and tractors now with GPS on them that does all the work, and you got to know how to do it. You got to know how to program it. You got to know. It's just amazing how far along they've come since I farmed some 40 years ago. Amen. Okay.
I'm waiting to see when they roboticize it, you know, and make everything this program it in from your house, and it goes out and does its thing. And
you know. I don't know. I don't see how in the world they can do that. There's so many things that can go wrong, you know. Go ahead, Sue. I'll get to you in just a minute, Pat. Sue. You may talk. Judy, you're going to have to teach her how to unmute.
And what did it again? What's the deal? Okay, got it. Sorry, I was talking to the sisters here that, you know, if all this technology, the farming, they would... If all of a sudden they couldn't use it anymore, they wouldn't know how to farm. You know,
do just what?
Just like the cashiers, you know, once the computers are off, they don't know how to add or subtract or anything.
Well, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out.
Amen.
All right, go ahead, Pat.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was just going to comment that the tractors are probably a lot about like the modern Earth Day or Earth moving equipment, where they have satellite antennas on each end of the equipment, and they do their grading via GPS coordinates. And so it's to the point now where an operator in a piece of equipment, if you have it that set up, you can simply, you know, start up the machine and push the button and it does all the work. It knows where to lift and raise, and everything is done according to GPS mapping. So, and I think farming is probably the same as far as, at least, you know, cutting straight rows and that sort of thing. It's probably a lot of it is done by that, if they have that ability to do so.
Oh, they have the ability. I went down to my brother's farm last summer, took my grandchild with me, and I said, man, I'd like to make a round on that combine. He said, Michael, he said, you can't start that thing. Said that I can't even start it. And I bought the silly thing. He said, it's so computer. He said, it's got two TV screens, one for the front and one for the back. And he said, this thing's got cameras all over it. And he said, they can get that thing started down the field. Let's say a soybean field. You can get that thing one pass through a soybean field and just sit back. And that combine will just do its own, going back and getting the most mile out of that combine going up and down the rows by itself. All he has to monitor is the sensors on the combine, you know. It's amazing. Where the last combine I bought was $16,000, that one cost $250,000. So it's amazing. And the tractors are not far behind that, so it's not like it used to be. It's high tech stuff. They know how much fertilizer, they know how much water, they know all of that stuff. It's real high tech stuff. So, and they make the most out of it because they don't ever know when they're going to have a failure. You know, that's one thing they can't control. It's like, I remember 72 or 73, when the hurricane came up and knocked all the rice down in Arkansas and Texas. And we were in January still combining rice out of the mud, pulling it out of the mud because of that hurricane came up through and knocked all the rice down. The day before, we were fixing to start out in the field to start combining. that was amazing. But anyway, but that's the year that we got a lot of money for it. Amen. We can quit talking about farming. I could sit here and talk all night long on that, but I ain't going to. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to comment on? Okay, I guess we can get into the curse of unforgiveness. Unless somebody has got something else they want to talk about.
Were we going to stay on that, or were we going to move into the God's vaccine?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask everybody tonight. How much do we like in this one chapter? We don't like very much to finish the chapter out. What we talked about Saturday night was going into the book God's Vaccine on David's site, on the site, and doing that since we've got this coronavirus coming up. What do y'all think? You think can we get off of this for maybe a couple of weeks and do God's Vaccine? I'm asking for a show of hands here. Yes, no. Yes, no. Barry says no. Okay. We can, you can go on site and download the PDF, we'll start it probably Thursday night, if that's all right with y'all. And we'll go ahead and finish the chapter in chapter 4, The Curse of Unforgiveness, and get caught up on it, talk about it a little bit. I want to ask this question, has the curse of unforgiveness helped everybody? I believe it has. I believe it has. We've had a lot of prayer time that we've needed. Okay, I got that we're on page 97. Is that right, Barry? Okay. Down at the bottom at the last paragraph. All right. Sue, can you get a little bit closer to that book? Yeah. Okay. I'm just messing with you, girl. I hadn't seen you in a long time. Need to cut up with you a little bit. All right. He said, let's continue in Samuel, 1 Samuel 25 and 27. And now this present which thy servant hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in thee all thy day. David says there is a hidden meaning underneath this. She was saying in essence, you should be fighting the battles of the Lord and not your own battles. So in 1 Samuel 25 and 29, and though man be risen up to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, yet the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life, that's the living, with the Lord thy God and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee prince over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee. That is, that David would have avenged himself by his own hand and been guilty of blood. Nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. And when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. And he certainly did that, didn't he? He later married Abigail. She got a promotion, didn't she? Praise God for stopping him. Then 1 Samuel 25 and 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy discretion. And blessed be thou that hast kept me this day from blood guiltiness and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord, the God of Israel, liveth, who hath withholden me from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light so much as one man child. So David received her of her hand that which she had brought him. And he said unto her, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. David said, it wouldn't have done any good, would it? 1 Samuel 25 and 37, and it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal that his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal so that he died. Well, it was certainly true. David didn't defend himself. He didn't avenge himself, and the Lord kept his word. he avenged David. Had David done that, of course, the Lord would have avenged David because David had avenged himself. Wouldn't you rather the Lord is the one to repay? It is such a great testimony when the Lord does it and not you. First of all, you bring judgment upon yourself when you do that. And second, you're forbidden to do that, as the Lord clearly tells us, because that is part of bearing our cross. Self wants to defend self. Self wants to be unforgiving. Self wants to be bitter, and self wants to demand its pound of flesh. Self wants an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil. In other words, forgive, and God will forgive you. And in 1 Samuel 25:39, and when David heard about Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept back his servants from evil. And the evil doing of Nabal hath the Lord returned upon his own head. And David sent and spake concerning Abigail to take her to him, to his to wife. So he didn't forget Abigail, did he? There are many good examples in scriptures concerning this, and we'll be looking at more of them as we study the differences between governmental forgiveness and personal forgiveness. So let's talk about it a minute. Anybody got something they want to share or ask a question about? You see what happens when we don't take revenge on somebody for coming after us, is God'll handle it. He does a whole lot better job than we can. Not only that, we're sinning if you do. And if you're sinning, you're in unforgiveness. And when you're in unforgiveness, you're outside the body. So that's something we need to bear in mind when people come against us, you know. It makes no difference where it is either or what it is. It makes no never mind, as the old boy said. You cannot hold unforgiveness and expect to get into the kingdom. But we just repent when we do and get right back in line with Jesus, you know. Sometimes we do. We lose it and we lose our cool and we have to repent, which is fine. And you get right back on the road of holiness. God is such a forgiving God. He's got a whole lot more grace than we do. Whole lot more. Amen. I'm a prime example of that. Don't be looking at me with them holy eyes, acting like y'all somebody.
We're just agreeing with you, Michael.
What's that?
We're just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Missy.
I was saying I that applies to me too, but I also did want to read something I just saw put on the blog by Debbie Horton, and at the very end of this little thing that she shares goes right along with this. She says, it was foggy and damp, and I was stopped at a red light. Facing me across the road was a semi, also waiting for the light. He had his signal on to turn in front of me. So I had the right of way to go straight across the intersection before he could make his turn. The light turned green. The semi driver inched forward, waiting for me. But there was a pickup flying toward us on my right. And I realized that there was no way he could stop. As a matter of fact, I don't think he even saw the traffic light. He was speeding big time. I hit my brakes in the middle of the intersection, hoping that he would have time to swerve enough out of the way that we would both survive the hit. There was no hit. Somehow, we know how, she puts in parentheses. Somehow, my car stopped short enough and he swerved far enough to miss broadsiding me. Of course, he hit his horn. Of course, he kept on going without slowing down. The semi driver looked infinitely relieved. He didn't want to be a witness to a bad accident. I waved at him as I continued through the intersection. Here's the best part of this praise report. My heartbeat never changed. I never became upset or excited. I never had a condemning thought about the pickup driver. And I even prayed that the Lord would keep him safe and keep him from causing an accident.
Amen. Sandy experience years ago over here when they were out delivering newspapers, and they pulled out in front of a car, and the car went through their car, and they just couldn't believe it. And the Lord actually gave her a rerun of the video of the same accident. It wasn't an accident. They just went on through them, you know, and didn't even slow down. Didn't see him. And she was up over the cars. The car was coming this way, and they pulled right out in front of that car, and that car went right through the front hood of Sandy's car. And nothing happened. There was no wreck. It was supernatural. It was supernatural. But anyway, it sounds like the same thing that Debbie went through.
Similar, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your angels.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for protecting all of us from these crazy people out there on that highway. Amen. All right. Anybody want to say anything about the forgiveness part? Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I think that was pretty amazing that she didn't have any bad or negative thoughts, you know, towards this guy, you know, or even like, what the world are you doing? Or, you know, nothing like that, you know?
So, yeah. Amen. I was in Hot Springs one time, going toward Hot Springs on, from another town, and on those back roads back on Highway 70, it's just it's like this all the way through that road, and it's hills. You can go up on the hill and go around a curve. Well, I go headed up this hill, and around the curve at the top of the hill were two logging trucks side by side racing one another. And I said, oh, this ain't good. And I didn't have very much time, and I had to get off in the ditch. And up there is not a whole lot of ditch before you hit a granite mountain, you know. But anyway, I was off, got off enough to where had they missed us. And that was pretty close call. They were up there just playing. They could have killed a bunch of folks down there. I forgave them. Don't y'all be looking at me. I forgave every one of them. All right. That's the part about bearing our cross. Is forgiving everybody and not walking in anger all day.
What do you think happened with Nabal? How we first heard it, it's like he said he became like stone. Did he have a heart attack? What happened with the guy?
He died.
Well, in 10 days later. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm sure fear gripped him once she told him what was going on. Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking more in terms of his relationship or fellowship or something with his wife. There became a wall. He was totally offended at that process. I haven't really thought a lot about it, but that's what I thought, is his heart turned to stone, you know, or whatever, that sort of concept. That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
Once she told him about that, he felt like it took away his pride of being whatever that was, his whole thing, and that she kind of interceded for him, made him look like kind of a fool. because of everything he had been said and done, and then he just like shut up to himself.
You don't think there was fear involved because he had all his men with him and they had their swords strapped on their side fixing to take his head off?
I think the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I don't know.
Didn't she go out and meet with David? I mean, she went away from the camp, so to speak, to meet David and corrected the situation or received his forgiveness at that time.
Yeah.
And prevented him. And then she came back, and then Nabal was drunk, so she waited until the next day and told him what she had done. So I don't think there was, I can't see where he was fearful of, because I don't think he was even aware that the fact that David was getting ready to wipe him out, you know. But whatever, who knows?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't really specifically say what she told him. She says she told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. I don't know, maybe so. He wasn't a very wise guy. He was foolish, wasn't he? Go ahead, Leon.
I was going to say he sounded like a stone before all of that occurred.
Yeah.
You know, his whole attitude. Well, Nabal means fool, so
yeah,
he fit the name properly.
Yeah. He did. Okay. Anybody else? All right. What else y'all want to do? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I was kind of wondering on how all this was choreographed, how everything came into place. You see, everything just came perfectly into place that this servant came to Nabal's wife and told her what happened, you know, and how God controls absolutely everything that happened. Even her having enough time to go out and meet with him in the field before he came upon them. Just how everything is in the sovereignty of God, you know, how we would like to have it if we were David and not go through with any unforgiveness or bitterness or wrath. You know, that's what we would want that for us. You know, we would want God looking after us that way. I'm just musing on this, thinking on, Are we doing this, or is God working this through us that we are going to obey him? You know, this is all I'm thinking on. And because Nabal's wife was an Israelite, and so was David, she did the right thing. You know, she saved life and saved David from doing wrong. And just how one person can stand in for something and save a lot of lives. How can this parallel in something today for us? That's all I'm thinking. You know, like we're talking about family salvation here. Well, look at the family of Israel here that was saved on that farm, you know, because one person had the right idea from God. There's so much you can see in that.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead, bro.
I would just like to share what the connection that I was making with this particular story. And what kind of impresses me is the sovereign protection and provision of God for Abigail in this situation. And she obviously understood or learned the lessons of humility. And we know that God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. And so she learned to receive much grace from God by humbling herself under God's mighty hand that he had placed in her life in the name of Nabal. And probably a husband like David, and whose heart was after the Lord, which would have been much more, it would have been easier for her to live under that environment and under that structure. Yet it's doubtful that she would have learned the lessons of humility and received the places of grace that God gave her to learn how to forgive, pray for her an unworthy husband or a foolish husband, and learn the lessons of praying for this guy even though he didn't deserve it, but learn to pray for him in the stead of him, that if he were in his right mind would make those prayers. And she had to learn how to do that, and she had to learn how to shed the normal natural response that it would have been there to hate, to hold a grudge, to be ungrateful. How did she get in this woe is me condition, situation, etc.? And so the very work that God did in her life was that very work that prepared her to be a great wife for King David, in my opinion. And it's interesting that when God had finished doing what he wanted to do as far as building her up, put his whatever graces in her life that he wanted in her to be expressed in her life, God then brought the circumstances together and was able to take Nabal out of the picture. And the reason I see it this way is because when I became a Christian, the Lord, I wasn't involved in any kind of, my family wasn't Christian. I was, I guess you might say, a heathen, and from the word go. And when I was 30 years old, less than that, 28 years old, the Lord opened my eyes up to who he was through a long process of events and whatever. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and he led me into a out of the state that I was living in at the time, and led me to a fundamental independent Baptist church in the southern part of the country here. And I had already gained a sense of fellowship with the Lord and reading his word and learning all kinds of new stuff. I hadn't learned what I wasn't supposed to be, and I hadn't learned anything related to my inner condition, real inner condition. So, but I was in love with the Lord, and he led me to this church, and it was probably within a few months, I'm going to say maybe a year, of the pastor was very good, showed me how to read the Bible in 10 chapters a day, and prayer and prayer meetings, and I was faithful to do all the things that Southern Baptists or fundamental independent Baptists do and whatever. But it became apparent after a while that there was the environment I was in, it wasn't getting down to the depth of understanding with the Lord that we all see in the Bible. There were no healings, there were no casting out of demons, there were no speaking in tongues, there were none of this was obviously happening, and I was getting a bit discouraged. And I'm sorry I'm running on, as I tend to do. To make a long story short, the Lord sent me through a process, and he literally poured out his spirit in my life and blew me away for 6 months to a year. I can't understand, I can't express exactly what happened, but and I was able to recognize that I was in the midst of the apostate system, and that apostate system, what I say by the apostate system is that system of the image of godliness, but the actual aspect of it denies the power, doesn't have any power of God. And I could see that I was in that, and so I started, after a certain amount of time of praying, and I went through a process of trying to express and convince and show people what I had learned and what I had seen, and was rejected more or less as a, they call me a Bapticostal, whatever in the heck that is. But anyway, the point being is that I've spent quite a few times where I'm not going to say disillusionment, but I will say discouragement, where I would come home at the end of the day on Sunday after the meeting, and I would literally go to bed to take a nap in depression, and I would go out like a light and sleep for 3 or 4 hours and wake up, and I mean, it was like I had to sleep off the depression. But and so I started crying out for the Lord to take me out of there. And very clearly, in more times than one, he told me that he put me there, and he would take me out when he was through doing whatever he was doing. And to me, I think. And I'm going to say, I went through a few years of that. And lo and behold, it's obvious that I can't make a long story short, isn't it? But my pastor and the group of the church, we started praying for revival. And we started seeking revival, not having any awareness that even the Holy Spirit still did things in the church today. No concept of that whatsoever. We were just praying. We were believing and praying and seeking and reading a lot of revival lectures from Charles Finney and various other different things. We got connected up with a group of people in Canada. That there was a revival that broke out in Canada in the late 60s, early 70s, or something like that. And they spawned off, and that thing spawned off and created a group called Canadian Revival Fellowship. Well, we connected up with them somehow, and the church was moving more closer to trying to find a real relationship with God, a relationship of power and spirit and miracles and things happening and whatever. And we were moving, God was moving the pastor and the church in that direction. And in the process, people started falling away. And so we started with our church was probably 150 people, and when this whole process whittled down, we ended up with a couple families, three families, probably 10 people and 15 people in our church, most of them kids. And through that process, God, we met up with some other people, and God and this relationship was so strong, we found the next step of community and whatnot. It was in a place here in Philadelphia. And God literally, through that whole process, relocated our small group as a church up to here to the Philadelphia area. And then we associated with these people, actually moved into the community, became part of the community. Now, so I say that in that I don't think God could have done the things in my life that needed to be done had I been bouncing around, picking and choosing, sliding around to here and there to pick up the good parts of this and that and whatever. So I make that connection with this story here about Nabal and Abigail. So I realize that you have to take that according to the Spirit and how God is leading you, because I think for the most part in this day and age, I mean, I agree with David that if your church is not teaching the gospel, you need to back up and, you know, go someplace or go home and read your own Bible and whatever. But I'm in my particular situation, it didn't work out that way. But I knew nothing about UBM or America's Last Days or whatever it was in those days. That was in the 80s. And so I'm not sure what was happening there. So I just give that as kind of maybe a personal testimony that if you find yourself in an abusive situation or a offensive situation, you know, God can change it, I believe. And so as we give thanks and thank God for it and look to Him for it, I think that and trust Him to produce in us what He wants to produce, then He will do it. So that's all I had to say.
Okay.
Well, did you have revival?
I got out of that church. And I went into a community, a common purse community, which I believe God used in many ways. But as I was in that process, I realized that that particular structure and the environment, I let me put it this way. I came to the end of myself as far as realizing that we needed to, we, I say as Christians, we needed, I needed to find that perfect environment so that I could fit into that perfect church environment. I was looking for that perfect environment in which to make that happen. And God, in that process, showed me that that perfect environment is not in a group, a people, a building, or whatever. It is in the process of believing His word. It's believing. I don't know how to express that, but it is that place of righteousness, that place of the Spirit is something that obviously that perfect place of environment is within us, set free to worship the Lord. And so I quit looking for that place in a building and started searching the internet to see what I could find out, and which led me to this perfect place of UBM. So
did that last group that you were in with the community, were they full gospel? Did they speak in tongues and
no.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they did not.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we had a speaker. We had a speaker come that we used to invite various different speakers to come in and give seminars and various things like that. But we had one that came in who was a full gospel, from what I knew of it at the time, was a full gospel preacher. And of course, he spoke about the 10 virgins, you know, did not have the five did not have their oil, and that oil is the Holy Spirit and that character quality of Christ within you, etc. And they kind of, the leadership kind of, you know, I won't say cut him off, but kind of, you know, cut the program a little short that day type of thing. And then they came around to all of us and asked us if we were all right. So I could see that
that was a no-no, huh?
That was a no-no.
Oh man. Yeah.
But it was good. The Lord brought me through the process. Step by step, took me through the process and brought me back up here. I don't think I would have found you guys if I had anchored down if God, way, way, way back when, God put an expectation in my heart as to what true Christianity is. He put that expectation in there, and so I was not settled or satisfied in anything less than finding that type of environment. And so I think that expectation is what took me through all that process and continues to take me through now.
Amen.
Anyway, I'll quit talking.
Oh, that's okay. Enlightening some people out there. All right. I think we all probably had some dealings with coming out of an apostate church. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
So are we closing the curse of forgiveness for now?
Yeah, we're going to close it, and we're going to pick up Thursday night with God's vaccine that's on the site in PDF form. Actually, it'll be published here pretty quick. I don't know how long it's going to be, but for now, we all have to download it PDF form.
Okay.
We thought because of what's happening in the world as far as the coronavirus and things like that, we ought to get that out there.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was sort of thinking, you know, should we go to that book or should we stay? Because you gave us a vote. But I just took a lot and I asked the Lord if what we should do, and I got two heads for yes, we should go to the vaccine one. So it's interesting. I just wanted to say that. Okay. And also on Abigail, it's a very interesting, you know, when you are married or you're a child of a person that doesn't have your faith or isn't saved, it's a very good example of a submission example, you know, because she didn't actually ask her husband, "Hey, honey, I want to just take some food to David and stop him from killing us all." She had to sort of go behind his back without his permission, and then she saved her whole, all her staff and everyone, you know. But if she went to him and said, "I got his permission," so it was sort of unsubmissive, but it was the right thing to do. And for me, I really thought about that as a good example of when to be submissive or not. And it was so crucial for her to get everything ready and just go and save the day, because it was, and I think she must have been quite pretty too, because when David saw her, you know, he was like, it really helped what she said, made an impression. So it all worked out really well.
Well, she already knew that he was a foolish man, you know, and that he had made a lot of mistakes before, apparently. All the servants did too. None of them respected him at all. So I don't know. Yeah, looked like that's what he did.
Yeah, you know, for wives that are married to unsaved husbands, sometimes you have to go along with their foolishness and, you know, and agree and sort of suffer. But this time she was not allowed to be submissive. I don't want to say something that I don't really understand it 100%, but she was supposed to totally be unsubmissive there. But she didn't get his permission. She didn't go there. She just acted in the dark. So I'm sure it's a good lesson for a lot of women that are married to husbands now, to do stuff that are crucial, but without their them knowing it. Something like that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nate.
That reminded me, I thought I'd read this. It's Proverbs 31. The woman who fears the Lord, who can find a worthy woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He shall have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works eagerly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her bread from afar. She raises also while it is yet night, gives food to her household and portions for her servant girl. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her waist with strength and makes her arm strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp doesn't go out by night. She lays her hands to the distaff. Her hands hold the spindle. She opens her arms to the poor. Yes, she extends her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for the household, for all her households are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine wool and linen and purple. Her husband is respected in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, faithful instruction on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of the household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband wants to pray for her. She, women do noble things, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her work praise her in the gates. And I'm thinking Abigail kind of runs along these lines.
Yeah, that was pretty good. They can skin a buck, run a trot line. Remember that song? All the good stuff. Go ahead, Diddy.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, all throughout the scripture, David always seems to represent the man child in so many ways. And I was wondering, how does he represent the man child in this story? And then, so here's Abigail married to a real beast, you might say, and she ends up married to a man child. So I think there's got to be an end time connection to this too. You know, that Abigail would represent the woman, the church, and if she's married to the beast kingdom, she ends up being married, you know, to the man child. So there's probably an end time scenario there here too. So.
And helping the man child out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping him from doing something he shouldn't do.
Yeah. Well, her old man died so she could marry another.
Yeah. Yeah. Nabal. What's the matter, Sue? All right.
I was going to say we can all can somewhat relate to Nabal with our lives, you know, what we were like before we the Lord got us straightened out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you speak for yourself. No, you're right, David. You're right. I'm not going to get on that high horn. Go ahead, Missy.
You could probably say that, you know, she was unequally yoked. And
you think?
And, you know, David's talked about that, you know. He's talked about that. I mean, this is what David's talked about, you know, ones being unequally yoked and the Lord separating ones, you know, in some shape or form. And putting them with somebody that they'll be equally yoked, so.
Yep, that could happen. It's going to happen to a lot of folks, I believe. Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, I really appreciate your testimony there, Pat, and all you shared. Yeah. It seemed to me like God was taking you from Passover, you know, which would be a Baptist, to Pentecost, and then he wants to take you further to Tabernacles. You know, it's like there's those three feasts that are representative of our relationship with God that he gave in the Old Testament, you know, and they all appear in the New Testament. And, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles is overcoming, complete overcoming, and, you know, being in the image of Jesus. And so, but where we go usually from, we grow in the Lord, we go from Passover to Pentecost, and that was your experience with the, you know, that second experience. I don't know when, if you, like you said, you weren't sure, they didn't speak in tongues, they weren't, you know, if they were baptized in the Spirit, but I think that's what God was doing with you. He is just moving you on. And sometimes we don't understand it if we don't have that knowledge of what God is doing. But there are three realms of the Spirit and three feasts that God takes us to. It's kind of like there's a whole bunch of threes in the scriptures that spell this out. It's kind of like going from, you know, out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. There's three realms there. And God does something in each of those realms. And he's going from Passover to Pentecost to Tabernacles. He's taking you from the outer court to the holy place, to the Holy of Holies. You know, there's a whole bunch of threes. It's kind of like, you know, Aaron's rod that budded. It had buds, blossoms, and almonds. There was, you know, the promise of something. Then there was the buds. Then the blossoms was it was an expansion of that. And then the almonds is the fruitfulness. It's that third realm of the spirit. And that's what we're after. That's, you know, walking in holiness and overcoming. And that's where God has taken us. But I think that's what he was doing with you. So keep pressing in and keep going.
Amen.
Look, you know, in faith, look to that, you know, that it's complete. He wants it to be perfect, really, and what it kind of boils down to, which would mean mature, complete, you know, able to overcome. You know, that's what he wants from all of us. And he wants us as a body to be a body of, in that way, like, you know, like a, because his life is going to be expressed. The life of Jesus will be expressed through a body of believers. A man child will be expressed in that way. You know, the woman or the bride is expressed in that way. So, but,
amen. Is that would the 30, 60, and 100 fold be?
I believe the that's same? What the 30, 60, and 100 fold is too. I believe, yeah.
We're 30, still working on that one with you, Pat.
Yeah. Because it's fruit, you know, the 30, 60, 100 is fruitfulness. You start out as a 30-fold fruitfulness in your walk, and then you're 60-fold when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the 100-fold is when you're overcoming, walking in,
you know, holiness. And there's what is the other one? Star, moon, and sun. Yes,
that's right. Glory. Star, moon, and sun. Glory. The three. There's all kinds of threes like that. It's a different way of saying the same thing. It says the same thing, but it's expressed in different ways.
Could that also be born again? And I'm thinking of the life of struggle that Paul expresses or talks about in Romans 7.
Yes.
And then the perfection element expressed in Romans 8.
Yes. Yep.
Amen.
So.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Called Thanks, faithful Danny. And chosen.
What's that, Andrew?
Called faithful and chosen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You're all.
That hundredfold is that resurrected power. That's a power. Hey, Pat, since you've got the floor, if you want to dismiss us with prayer.
Certainly will. Okay. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you provide in us. You just guide us through this life. As Danny was expressing, born again discipleship and perfection and all of these things, sanctified, separated, perfected. We just thank you, Lord, that it was all done at the cross and that you accomplished it for us. And we simply need to be aware and listen and learn and believe what you have done for us and believe and walk in that truth. And we thank you for it. So I just ask you just to continue to guide us for your benefit, for your glory, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and bless everyone in hearing these words and in this group tonight, Lord, that you bless each one with a clarity of understanding in your word and just a closeness, a perception of just how close you are in our lives. We thank you for that, Lord. Just bless us as we continue on in your word and bring us back together Thursday for additional benefit in the learning about our freedom and deliverance from all aspects of the curse, our protection in you, that Psalm 91 place, hidden place of the Most High. And Lord, just give us grace, wisdom,
and a desire to enter in fully and completely. Thank you for the perfection in these things that you have provided for us in Christ, and thank you for your perfection in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Pat.
Good night.